Father God, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for praying. For praying for us and hearing our prayer. As we stand in this place, this sacred place that is yours, we give ourselves to you, asking that you would touch our hearts and our minds, that we may let go of anything that is in the way of preventing us from worshiping you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. That gospel lesson is one of my favorites. I begin by sharing with you that life is not meant to be lived without prayer, brothers and sisters. Life is not meant to be lived without prayer. Because life is not meant to be lived without God. You can't live this life without God. God can always, always, always be found by those who pray. And most importantly, I love to connect with people through prayer. I love to walk up to someone and say, hey, I prayed to God for you. As a matter of fact, I talked to God on behalf of your circumstance. I love to do this because I believe in the power of prayer, and I believe in asking God to answer the prayers of others. Today's gospel lesson is one of my favorite, as I've said before, because I love to hear those verses in John 17. Those verses are Jesus. Jesus praying a prayer for us. A prayer for all of us here today and for those that are not here, but believe in Jesus. You see, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was praying for you today. That's incredible. Jesus was really praying to God, to the Father, for something specific. And that was for unity. That we would be one. We would be unified. We, in all that we'll deal with, will be united. You know, this scripture is important because when you look at the context and you understand what Jesus was going through, you have to say, oh my, how in the world that during this setting, Jesus went through the hardest time of his life. And yet, he not only gives a word of encouragement to his friends, he breaks out and prays for them. How many of y'all know people in your life when you're going through, they say, I'll call you back. Or I'll get with you. Or when something has really broken apart, they say, I'll check back in. A lot of people do that. But do you know people that when you're going through, they say, hey, let's just pray right now. I'm praying for you. Or even if they don't even know that something has happened, they just text you. They call you and say, I'm praying for you. I'm praying. Brothers and sisters, today, this prayer to God is important. It's important for all of us here today because it's a prayer where Jesus wanted to make sure that as he gathered his closest friends together, he prayed for them. He wanted to pray that they would be able to handle the struggle and the difficulty as a family, unified. He wanted to pray that God would unite them as one, that they would be connected as a true family. He prayed that they would be brought closer together by God. Jesus not only prayed for all of those that were there, but if you look at this scripture, you'll read very clearly, it's for all others that believe. You see, this is about community today. This is about praying that we can really be unified, that we can be a community of faith. And as I go over this scripture again and again, I'm reminded of our world. I'm reminded of the oneness that we're supposed to walk in, and yet we don't do it so well. But whether we agree or disagree, we are in Christ. Whether we like each other or dislike each other, whether we agree with what we do the same way as the other, we are a part of Christ. And we have become a part of a community. And we need to hear that today. As you look and you see people that are not here today, doesn't mean that they are not a part of this family. These are not a set of words of instruction in this prayer. Jesus doesn't even pray for himself. Jesus is praying to God for us. It's a privilege for us to even hear these words. It's like we are listening in as we are being lifted up. How many of y'all love to be prayed over? I love for somebody to pray for me. I love to hear little children pray. Isn't that beautiful when they pray over you? But when I read this scripture again, I felt like I was listening in about me being unified. Me as a woman of faith, looking at where I am, but also about this church and the ministry at NCCU. I believe that it's clear that even in this prayer, that it's a prayer for all of us to look at and examine what does community really mean. And to ask ourselves, are we really doing what we can to bring others closer? Are we setting up these walls and barriers to divide and separate? Oh, we are part of a community of faith. We got our little cliques in church and outside of church. But really, this prayer is about you and the others that believe in Jesus to be united. And Jesus is praying this prayer believing that God is concerned with the whole world. We know we've got a problem. I mean, there's no way we could sit here on this Sunday morning and have not heard the news this week. If I point over here, somebody will tell me some drama, some that is so messed up. And then if I look over here, it's so much over here, I'm sure y'all can roll it off. And right here, oh my goodness. There's no way we could turn to the left or the right and not acknowledge that we are divided, that our world is jacked up, that we truly are not united. Whether we look at what has happened in London and other places with all the violence, or we look at what happened 1 week ago. 1 week ago today, a 17-year-old black Muslim teen was leaving her friends. Y'all know the story, don't you? Chased down with a bat and sexually assaulted because of what she believed. Is that unity? But we can't just stop there. Y'all know the verdict. You can't help but think of the little bitty girl that saw her dad get killed by a police officer. And to hear this week that what, y'all? What's the end result? We got problems. Oh, there's no doubt. And so when I read this prayer, I know that Jesus knew that there would be police officers intentionally killing black males, people of color, and getting away with it. I believe Jesus knew that people of color would be singled out, that people of different faith traditions that are not the majority would be targeted. But when we look at this gospel lesson today, Jesus had something different in mind. Jesus knew how important community would be for us today. That's when you look at the scriptures, you read clearly that it says that they all be one. Are we one today when you turn on the news? No. Are we one today when you read the results of how people are treated differently, whether they are in other parts of the world or they're right here? I believe that Jesus knew that this oneness was not for a particular group or individual, but it was to benefit the entire world. I believe that when he prayed this prayer to God for his disciples, he wasn't just thinking about all those that had betrayed him, done so much to him. He was thinking about those that were to come, like you, like me, in this day and time. I truly believe that this is about a unity that is not individual, but is based on a common faith and a purpose. And that's to bring us closer together. That's to bring us as one. So I stand before you today, being honored, blessed to have spent over a week with a group of young people that set out on a mission. They set out on a mission. They set out on a mission to bring this world closer. You know, these individuals were determined to do more. They were determined to not just connect and give information out. They wanted to change the environment. They wanted unity, as we see it right there. They wanted the unity that they were walking in at North Carolina Central University and in this city to go to Nassau, Bahamas. You see, they weren't just saying, oh, I want to be a voice for the least of these. I want to connect people. No, they wanted to truly bring people closer. And I stand before you and say, as their advisor, they did it. Made me proud. I want them to come forward at this time. I want them to come forward because I think it's important that when you look at this prayer and you hear the testimony of these four, you're going to realize that we all can change the world and that we all have work to do. Work to do and to pray the prayer that Jesus prayed to God, that we will all be closer. So I'm going to let them share at this time. I'm going to begin with Winston, and I'm just going to step to the side. Before he begins, I want you to know that there were 9 of us that went on this mission trip. We had a video that had testimonies from those that were not here today because of jobs and graduation, but the video did not work. But I want to send a shout out and a thank you to Matt for making sure that you get some pictures today. And you will see some of the examples of what they've done on video in the future. So Winston, would you please start, and then we'll just come straight down, introduce yourself, and speak specifically based on this mission trip and anything that God gives you.
Most definitely. As Pastor Gloria just mentioned, I am Winston. I'm one of the team leaders of the Office of Spiritual Development and Dialogue in our CityWell Campus Ministries. And so the mission trip was, it's really tough to put it in words because it was an experience that I always will remember. I've actually been to the Bahamas before as a tourist. I was on the island of New Providence in Nassau just for a couple of hours, you know, being on a cruise ship, getting off, walking through the straw market and going on my merry way. But this was truly was an experience. And what I really enjoyed about the trip was we really took our time to reflect on everything that we did. It was the first time for a few of us of, you know, flying, going out of the country. And so it was, as much as it was about giving back to the community, it was also about, you know, God working inside of us as well. I think for me specifically, I was looking at what I can do and how I, what will I be able to accomplish in this mission trip. But I think God had another plan of how he could work on the inside of me during this trip. And so one thing that I know some others will touch on, specific things that we did, but we talked about what is our idea of a missions trip. And the thing I said was that I'm looking forward to accomplishing something, conquering something. You know, that's what I think of a mission. And at the end of the trip, that's the total opposite of what we really were doing. And the entire trip, I was truly humbled because a lot of times we take for granted what we do have here in the States. Something as simple as a shower that, you know, comes out smoothly and we get a strong current of water coming on us. Some people don't have that. Some people don't have a solid roof over their heads. Some people don't have electricity. And the most touching thing for me was that we actually work with St. Michael's United Methodist Church in Nassau, Bahamas, and they were doing their annual conference for the United Methodist Church down there, and we were actually the first missions group to go down there that was predominantly Black. And so it was a shock for them because they're used to, you know, Methodist churches coming and it being predominantly white or Caucasian and you know, maybe being one or two Black, you know, people in the group. And so
they never had any Blacks.
They never had any Blacks.
So we were the first.
It was really unique for them, and their perception was, I guess, you know, we're having another church to come and help us. And so we were able to connect with them on a different level, and we were able to see that they have some of the same struggles, I guess, culturally and a part of their Black experience, which is different than ours, but we were still able to connect with them. And many times the college students who were there, we were able to connect with them at night when we weren't working. But I know Lindsay will probably touch on this as well, but one of the most touching moments for me was when we went to the Naomi Christie Assisted Living Center. And so we went and helped out a bunch of elderly folks, people who no longer can take care of themselves, might have Alzheimer's or whatever it may be, and oftentimes they can't feed themselves either. And so we went there and spent most of our day there. I think that was the fourth day that we were there. And the director said something really profound of the Assisted Living Center. She said, you know, you guys aren't like most groups who come here. You guys don't, you know, just come here and try to have fun or whatever. And some of the previous groups, she said they would come and maybe spend about 30 minutes with the elderly people and then leave. And we spent almost 2-3 hours there. And sitting with the people and feeding them was really touching. To be with people who can't even feed themselves. I have a grandmother who's really elderly, and so it really touched me as well. And they have family who may be across the country and can't visit them. And obviously they speak in, you know, a little bit with an accent in Patois down there in the Bahamas. But that was really touching to me. And to a few of the other students who went, the elderly people said, I love you. I love you. Mm. And we prayed. We sang, this is the day that the Lord has made, the first song we sang this morning. Jesus loves me. And it was just a beautiful sight. And it made me, it reminded me of how Jesus said, you know, when you go visit the elderly, visit the imprisoned, feed the hungry, you know, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked. And it just reminded me that Jesus is truly with the least of these. And I could really see, you know, the face of God in those elderly people there. That was the most touching moment for me. And a couple of people teared up when we were all praying together. And it was just above all else, I think that we saw truly how transcendent the power of God is. It goes beyond racial barriers. It goes beyond cultural barriers, country barriers. God is truly transcendent in his power, and we were able to witness that by being able to connect with people who aren't even a part of our culture. So that was the most touching part for me. And Bible verse that I really lived by during my entire experience was the Great Commission. I don't know if you all are familiar with the verse, but it comes out of the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus called his disciples and told them to go out and make disciples of others. And I'll just read it briefly. I'll start Matthew chapter verses 18 through 20 in the Great Commission. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go out and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that really stuck with me the entire time, telling me that, you know, God has called us to go out and spread the gospel, to conquer souls and to bring them to Jesus. And so that's something that really, really stuck with me the entire time.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lindsay. I'm also a team leader. Go ahead and let you guys know I'm a little nervous. I've never given a personal testimony in front of a church before, but I'm really excited to share with you guys what I learned and my excitement for going to the Bahamas. So this was actually my very first time ever getting on a plane. I've never been on a plane before, never been out of the country before, so I was really, really excited to do this. I had gone on a mission trip before with another church, so I was kind of really excited to go out and do another mission trip, and what I thought I knew is not what I actually knew, because I had one idea of a mission trip in my head, and then going to, you know, out of country with another culture was just a different experience. So I really, really enjoyed it thoroughly. As soon as we got on the plane, we were welcomed by everyone in the Bahamas. They're really, really nice, very welcoming. And the pastor at St. Michael's Church was also very, very welcoming. It was different, but also very welcoming. And what stood out for me personally was, Winston said, the Naomi Christian little senior center really stuck out to me because I had a personal connection with the guy I talked to. I'm going to be honest, when I went in there, it was 9 of us, and there was 9 seniors, so it was absolutely perfect. We all had one person that we could talk to and really connect with. And the person that I met, his name was Rodney, and he kind of sat there, and he didn't really talk. I was a little kind of hesitant because I was talking to him, and I really wasn't getting the answer, so I was getting a little irritated and frustrated. I was like, really trying to talk. I was like, hi, Rodney, how's it going? Where are you from? Really wasn't getting an answer, so the more I talked to him, he started to respond a little bit. I asked him if he went to church. He said yes, he had went to church. I asked him if he had kids. He had 4 kids, 4 daughters. I asked him what his favorite song was, and he told me, "Jesus Loves Me." And so when we all got together, we all started to sing that song, and it really touched my heart because I really couldn't get a lot of words out of him, but he knew every word to that song. That when we sang, he knew every word. To the other song we sang, he knew every word. And for me, that really touched my heart because, you know, we're out here trying to minister and get the word of Jesus out. And it just touched me that everyone in that senior center was saved and Christian, really knew the word of God. And so when we all got together and it was time to feed them, Rodney specifically could not feed himself. So I was sitting down with him, and I was helping him eat, and I just began to cry because it really touched my heart because I have a grandmother who is elderly as well, and it just, for me, it just really touched me that I was helping him, you know, feed himself because he couldn't do that. And as he was eating, you know, he just told me he loved me. He was like, I love you, I love you. And it just really, really touched my heart when we went there. And another thing that touched my heart was we did the soup kitchen. We went down and we helped make snacks and lunches for those who couldn't afford or was homeless. And, you know, we're supposed to help the sick, the shut-in, the poor and the needy, those behind prison bars. That's what we do as Christians. You go out and you help others. So it really touched me that we got to be a service to those who don't necessarily have food. And I think about here, we complain sometimes about we go out in restaurants and, you know, it's not cooked all like how we want it to be cooked, or we go to fast food restaurants and we're just like, I don't really want this. But there's actually people in, you know, these places who don't have anything to eat. Like, they depend on people for fixing lunch and dinner for them because they don't have anything. So it was a really great experience. If I can go back again, I would, definitely. But it was really nice.
Hello, y'all. My name is Joshua. I'm currently one of the leaders as well. And, like, throughout this whole entire experience, it was something very new to me. I know the first thing was just being on the plane. I could not go to sleep, like, my first plane ride. I was just looking out the window, like, drive better, like, please, you know. And then I could finally go to sleep, so I finally got a little bit of courage in there. But anyway, one of the most things that touched me was we was there for 7 days. It was about 6 days, and it was just one of the things where we had to live together. We had to learn to get along, grow, where we truly are. And one of the things that touched me is that it was a sense of family. You know, of course, your family is going to be like your bloodline, but sometimes that doesn't even work as well. So just working with them and just being with them just encouraged me just to be a better person for my family back home and for them. But I'm going to tell y'all a story of this man, Paul, that we fed at the homeless shelter. They live in graveyards. And that's the craziest part. Like, they literally had to find a pillow, put it over a grave, and just sleep there. And one of the encouraging things was this man named Paul stepped towards us. He was like, hey, everybody. And he just kept talking about Jesus. Like, he knew scriptures, like, it was like on his hand. And I'm just like, you really are a peaceful person. If you really think about it, how would y'all all feel if y'all were homeless? Y'all didn't have any source of income. If you were 60 years old and you didn't know what days you were going to wake up and what days you weren't, you know? And one that really touched my heart, how peaceful he was to come towards us and tell us who he is. And so when I prayed for him, it was like I had known him for, like, already a year. You know, he was a very respectful man. He even said that he wanted to change his ways. He even said when he was, like, 19 years old, he was a drug dealer. He used to kill people. And at first, I kind of stepped back because I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But it's just one of the things where, for me, and I think for everybody here, it showed us that it's always up to you if you want to change, you know. You can't always let your timidness or, I'll do it next year, I'll do it 2 years later, you know. You can always change whenever you want to, especially in any type of circumstance. It doesn't matter. As long as you say, I'm with you, Lord. This has happened, but I want to make a change. He'll do it for you. That's why he has peace. And one of the things and where one day we did, we stayed quiet for like the whole entire night. And I just reevaluated myself. And I start to basically cry in my sleep because I started to see how maybe ungrateful I was. You know, I always complained about my grades, about NCCU CAF, you know. And it's just one of the things where I'm blessed to have the stuff that I have, the home that I have, the people that I have in front of me, because you never know. So I just encourage y'all to stay grateful for what y'all have, because you never know, and just stay in peace, because he will give it to you. And one of the scriptures that really helped me through the experience of this whole trip is Joshua 1:9. It's actually on my wrist. Actually, I don't have to read it. But it says, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Be encouraged. Be brave. Be strong, because the Lord your God will be with you. And I really hope that y'all really take that into consideration, because we live in a place in where there's hate everywhere. You never know what can happen on a daily basis. You see people get hurt, murdered, profiled for something that they never done. So it's one of the things in where you got to really stay in faith and empowerment, and just fight for what is yours. Fight for the rights of your people, God's people. Thank you.
Hello, City Well. My name is Tia. I am currently a team leader with the Office of Spiritual Development and Dialogue at NCCU, and I was able to go on this wonderful trip to Nassau, Bahamas. So I want to tell a personal testimony on how this trip has helped me and changed me to a better person. I know I can go into the many opportunities that we was able to engage in, but I wanted to go ahead and share my personal testimony. I remember going on the trip, and we was all sitting down around the table. We was eating. We was having a meal, and we had the one word, and my one word was transformation. And I'm sure you guys have heard it a lot about transformation, especially at Central. And I remember another word I was feeling was uncertainty, because this was like my first time going on a missionary's trip. It was my first time in Nassau, Bahamas. But I want to touch on with the trip, I had like this defense mechanism that I have built over the course of my years of being here on this earth as a way to protect myself. And the defense mechanism that I built was not really letting people in touch to my feelings. I would, instead of expressing how I felt to someone, by going off and doing my own thing. Either I go and put my headphones in, I listen to music, or I go and write, or I just stay silent. And I didn't know at the time of the hurt that I was also causing to others. And the whole time we've been talking about oneness. I remember before this trip, us getting together as a team and having to have the times where we had to come together as one, and how we talked about being one and how we had to do activities to show that we was one. And during those times and those moments, I was in it. But once I got onto the trip and away from the environment that I was used to, it put me in a whole new environment where I kind of forgotten of all the things that we went and we learned and how we came together. And I remember being at the conference, and the pastor's sermon was about oneness and about how you can't just go off to yourself and separate yourself from the group. And I remember sitting there just thinking like, okay, God, I hear you talking to me. Help me. And then it got to a point where, you know, it was brought to my attention. And it was kind of hard for me to really accept what was being said. But I knew that I had to take the moment to stand back and, like, really self-evaluate. And I know the things that really helped me was our debriefing at the end of each day. Us coming together to have them late-night talks that kept us up in the wee hours. The expressing the feelings that we may be feeling towards one another or towards situations, how the day had maybe impacted us. And I can think back, and before I really let it go and was open to expressing my emotions, that it was kind of like a fog. And it was taking me away from the real reason why we was there, to go out into the community, to make these connections, to give back, to build these relationships. And I know that I had to let go of the things that I brought there. And I say to all to say that sometimes we have built these defense mechanisms, which we think is to help us. And we don't realize it at that moment, but something happens later on down the line where it's brought to our attention. And I just have to say, like, just self-evaluate and look at what may be holding you back from being unified with the community or being unified with the group that you're working with or being unified with God, Jesus, with yourself. I know this trip for me was an experience that if I could, I would redo every single moment of it with the same people, even with new people. But I would do it all over again. So in the scripture that I would like to read is Deuteronomy 4:29-31. But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with your heart and with your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in the latter days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenants with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. And I just want to read the last part again. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the covenant with your ancestors, which he confirmed to them by oath. And I just want to say that sometimes we have to go through challenging situations in order to really see, in order to really fully live by God and just know that whatever he brings us through is not meant to take us under the water. But sometimes you have to get into those situations where you feel uncomfortable, where it makes you feel uneasy, and you have two choices. Either you can run from it or you can go ahead and face it head on knowing that you have God standing by your side with whatever it may be. And I know for that mission trip, it showed me truly what God was capable of doing. Because I remember saying, like, even before while I was here, like, oh, yeah, of course I trust God with my academics. Of course I trust God with my professional, like, with my job and all the other stuff that I'm involved in and with my life. But it's through those places where we can't see, and it feels like we're being taken under. Like, it's not working out in our favor or that we have so much coming up against us. But it's actually God bringing you through the process to help you as an individual and also to help those around you. So, thank you.
I want to thank y'all for coming up, sharing a testimony. As they go back to their seat, I want to just say that this was not planned a week ago. This was planned this morning. When the video didn't work, we had to look at how we're going to move from here to there. And what you heard was from the heart on the top of the day. We did go to a preschool, which was next door to the church. We did a time with the little children there. We sung songs and spent one-on-one time with them. We went to assisted living and played bingo, prepared lunch, served, and that was a blessing. We also went to another United Methodist Church where they were preparing food for the homeless, and that's where Lindsay was speaking about preparing a meal for those that did not have. We made soup. We made sandwiches. We put it together, and we stood at the door, and the people came up to receive. And the part that Josh mentioned, the graveyard, I want to share with you because that really touched my heart. This church that we provided service to the homeless, in the back of it had this huge grave, this huge cemetery. And the pastor said, I want to take you there because this is where the homeless sleep. This is where they stay. I didn't believe that, y'all. We went there, we saw people laying on graves. Not one person, but people. When you looked out, it was like it was a whole community. They had pillows, they had little, it was their little home on top of a grave, on top of someone else's grave. We brought those bags of soup and we gave it to them. Josh prayed for one of them. It was like we were in their community. And as we were walking through the graveyard, it was something I never experienced before, where a graveyard here is a place that you don't go unless you're going to pay respect or visit someone. But this was a place where we went to have fellowship with the homeless and to hear their testimony and to serve them food. We left bags of soup for those that were not there on their grave sites because they were coming back. That touched my heart. But I say all that because this was new to me, and it was very new to our students that also were there. I pray that we may rejoice in the assurance that Christ is with us and continuing to pray for our oneness and unity. When I look at this gospel lesson today and I look at the testimonies and this mission trip, I find that Jesus truly wants us to look at having a common faith and purpose. So you're here today. You've heard this. I hope you are asking the question, what can I do? What can I do as a person of faith? What can I do to bring the world closer together, to make a difference in the life of those that I don't know? What can I do? Well, I believe that City Well is one of the best churches in the community that offers opportunities for you to express your faith, not just to talk about it, but to go out. And so if you're interested, you heard during the announcements the opportunities for you to help here, but also through the NCCU City Well Campus Ministry. If you're interested in being a part of it or you have additional questions, you can fill out the sheet and write it on the back of your card. But you can also be aware that prayer is the key for all that we do. Where are you today, though? Where are you? You've come to this worship service to worship. But are you in a comfort zone? Did you walk in here with a checklist and not willing to look and see if that list included action? Action to change our world? What is preventing you from doing the work to bring us closer together? How many of you can honestly sit where you are today and say, you're doing what God has called you to do to bring our world closer? Or are you just with your little group in your little part of the world and you're okay? Well, I hope you are looking inward. I hope you are doing some self-reflection and looking at what unity, oneness really means, and why Jesus prayed this prayer to God about you. Are you walking in unity? Are you in oneness with the stranger, with the refugee, with those that you don't know? Well, I want to ask our praise team to come as we prepare for this song. The song is Nothing I Hold On To. There are only five little lines in there. And I hope you'll hear these words, and I hope as you sing this song, you really will be able to answer what you're holding on to, what you are allowing you to not go further. Is there something? My hope and my prayer is that you will consider this privilege to hear about this mission trip and think of where you need to go, the work that you need to do, the action that you need to take. May God bless you, and may God continue to bless all of those that are stepping out of our comfort zones to do the work to bring others closer together. Amen.